turn to Proverbs chapter 1, which will serve as our scripture reading for today's sermon. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. I will read the passage. You can follow along. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is God's word. Let me pray for us one more time. Lord, help us. Would you please help us understand this passage? Would you help me, your servant, proclaim your truth clearly and faithfully? And would you help all of us as a church, each one of us, grow in our desire for, in our experience of wisdom, especially as we start this new school year? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've ever been in a situation where you weren't quite sure what to do and you needed some guidance, you know how thankful you feel when you run into someone who gives you the exact advice you need at seemingly the perfect time. Your situation that seemed so murky before you spoke to this person now seems so much more clear, and you have a much better idea of what you need to do. I can think of one time when I wasn't even looking for advice. I just ran into an old friend who I hadn't talked to for a while, and it was, of all places, at the softball tournament where our team will be playing this upcoming Saturday. At one of the previous softball tournaments, I ran into an old friend, and we just started chatting, but as we were talking, he started sharing about some of the stuff going on in his life, and my ears began to perk up because I realized he was talking about a challenge that I was also facing at the time. And I don't think he realized it, but what he shared was so relevant for my situation, so helpful, and it came at the perfect time. And I distinctly remember walking away from the conversation thinking, wow, that was such wise advice. And it was exactly what I needed at that moment. It's almost as if God put us together at that softball field. He brought me there to have this conversation with this older, wiser brother. That's the kind of wisdom that I needed. And I'm convinced that any Christian can attain wisdom. The brother that I was talking with wasn't a missionary. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't a seminary professor. He wasn't even a leader in his church. He was just your typical ordinary guy who loves Christ and tries to follow him as best as he knows how. I believe that God wants all of his children to grow in wisdom. That's one of the main lessons in the book of Proverbs. We see this from the very first verses 1 and 2. So the proverb of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight. Now, if we assume that these verses in the book of Proverbs as a whole are intended to benefit all Christians, then I think we can also assume that God wants all of us to become wise. And this is actually something I've been praying about more for myself and especially for my kids. Lord, we need wisdom. Help us to grow in wisdom. And I wanted to address this topic of wisdom today, since the new school year is going to be starting this week for a good number of our students and our teachers here. I know it feels like summer just flew by, and some of us may silently be mourning the end of summer while the rest of us can't wait for the new school year to start. You know, get them out of the house. But I hope that the start of the new school year won't be too rough, and I'm hoping that our students and even our teachers will be able to enjoy a wonderful, exciting year of learning and growing. But this morning, I want to focus on this topic of wisdom And today's sermon is going to be more devotional in flavor. I want to talk first about what wisdom is, and then we'll consider how we can grow in wisdom. My prayer for all of us here at RCC, whether we're students or not, whether we're young or we're old, that all of us will grow specifically in wisdom during the school year. Now, what is wisdom? If we're going to grow in wisdom, it's probably good for us to have a clear idea of what wisdom is. How does the Bible define wisdom? That's really the question that we need to be asking this morning. Well, let me try to approach this by talking first about what wisdom is not, at least according to the Bible. Biblical wisdom is not the same thing as intelligence. Wisdom in the Bible is not something we can measure by our IQ or our grade point average or our test scores. Those aren't bad things, of course, in themselves, but they're not necessarily an accurate indicator of wisdom. In other words, just because someone's smart doesn't mean that he or she is wise, at least in the way that the Bible defines it. Biblical wisdom is also not the same thing as street smarts. I'll put it that way. We probably all know people who may not have gotten the highest grades or test scores, but man, they know how to work those relationships. They know how to manipulate situations to their advantage. Okay, these are folks who have what's sometimes called high social intelligence. They're quick on their feet. They always seem 5 steps ahead of you. They know all the life hacks that are out there. But none of that necessarily means that they're wise. Wisdom in the Bible isn't so much about what we know. It's really more about who we are, how we live. An Old Testament scholar named Doug Stewart defines wisdom as the ability to make godly choices in life. I like that definition a lot. As I've been heading into my middle age years, I'm seeing more and more of just how valuable, how important wisdom is for life. If we look back, I think many of us will see how certain choices we made at critical points played a huge role in the overall direction of our lives. Where we went for college, our choice of career, who we married, for those of us here who are married, where we decided to live, who we became friends with, where we decided to go to church. And even seemingly less significant choices like the hobbies we took up or the books that we read that influenced us in ways that surprised us, or food that we eat, which also affects us. Like it or not, the choices that we make can have a very real, sometimes lasting impact on the people around us, people that we love. And I've realized that many of our choices reveal our character. Our choices show what ultimately matters to us, what we hold near and dear, the priorities that govern our lives. Biblical wisdom focuses on some of these priorities and the choices that arise from them. Let's consider some of the priorities we find in this first chapter in the book of Proverbs. Verses 1 through 3 says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior." Not just what we know, but how we live. Doing what is right and just and fair. So we see these verses equating wisdom with, again, not just what we know here, but how we live. Prudent behavior, and specifically wisdom with values like righteousness and justice and fairness, or as some other translations put that last word, equity. Equity. Now, many people today love these ideals. In our society today, I would say that justice and equity are kind of in. They're celebrated. We hear many politicians and celebrities and other leaders speaking up for these virtues, and that's, of course, not a bad thing, but I just want to make sure we see how the book of Proverbs connects these virtues, these ideals, to God. In other words, we should want to be people who love righteousness, who pursue justice and fairness, not because they're noble ideals in themselves, of course they are, or not because we'll feel better about ourselves if we try to live by them, but because as people of faith, we want to please and honor God. A wise person in the book of Proverbs is someone who embraces righteousness and justice and equity because his or her life is centered around God. Okay? He lives first and foremost for God. She lives to please and honor God above anyone or anything else. We see this in verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I'll talk a bit more about what that means, but for now, it's enough to say that knowledge and wisdom and instruction are all describing the same thing. These are synonyms. Okay? It's a common literary device in Hebrew poetry. But the more important point is that God is the key part of this profile of the wise person. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, then the implication is we can't be wise if we don't know God. We can be smart, might be successful, might even be happy, at least for a period of time, but we can't be wise. And if we're not wise, then there's really only one other option available for us. We're fools. That's a bit scary. I don't want to be that. I don't want that for my kids. I don't want that for any of us here. I want us to grow in wisdom. And again, I believe that's what God wants for all of his children, for each of us. So how can we grow in wisdom? Well, I kind of already hinted at the answer. True wisdom doesn't come from reading books or taking a class or listening to a podcast or watching how-to videos on YouTube. Again, none of those things are bad in themselves. They're just not the first step to finding wisdom. According to verse 7, the very first step to attaining wisdom is knowing God. We must fear the Lord if we're going to gain knowledge or wisdom. Now, what does this mean, to fear God? Many scholars and theologians believe this verse isn't saying we should be terrified of God or scared to approach him. Hey, God wants us to know him. God wants us to feel confident enough to come to him whenever we need to, when we're hurting, when we're frustrated, when we're confused, when we're down. I think this verse is saying we can do all that, but we need to respect God. In other words, God is not just our buddy or peer or pal. God is our creator. We're his creatures. God is our sovereign king. We're his servants. God is our loving heavenly father, and we're his children. We need to remember who he is. When verse 7 says we need to fear God, it's saying we need to have a deep respect, even sense of awe towards God. We should be amazed by him. So we must know God if we're going to have any chance to grow in wisdom. Now let me mention something that I think most of us already know, but I'm going to mention it anyway. When the book of Proverbs talks about fearing God or knowing God, it's not saying we should know God in a theoretical sense. In other words, knowing God is not the same thing as knowing about God. I think it's very possible for someone to know a lot about God without really knowing him personally. I think that's actually a challenge for many of us who grew up in the church. We might know many of the stories in the Bible. We might be able to spit out all the right answers at our youth group meetings or our C group meetings. But trust me, take it from someone who's a certified expert in head knowledge. Okay? There's a huge difference between knowing the truth and living the truth, experiencing the truth. We can know a lot about God and yet still struggle to pray to God. We can know a lot about God but still have a hard time trusting God when we go through difficult situations. In my own experience, I found that certain truths about God that I learned at church or from my parents or at seminary, some of these truths are still stuck up here in my brain. They haven't yet taken root in our hearts. They're still theory, not yet reality. They haven't gripped us in a way where they guide the choices that we make at those key turning points in our lives. Those of us who are parents here hope that our children will learn to make good choices in life. Make good choices. We tell our kids very often, make good choices. But wisdom in the Bible is the ability to make godly choices, not just good choices. Godly choices aren't always convenient choices. Godly choices will sometimes require us to sacrifice. Godly choices will sometimes place us at a disadvantage. Godly choices will sometimes force us to be patient and wait. Godly choices will sometimes force us to say no, even though every part of us wants to say yes. Godly choices come from a healthy fear of God. We respect Him, and we commit ourselves to pleasing Him in all that we do. Of course, we'll fail from time to time. In fact, we'll fail very often. But our overall mindset and attitude toward God is one of glad and willing surrender to Him. And that sets the overall direction of our lives. Lord, what do You want? What will please You? What will honor You? And that mindset begins to shape the choices and decisions we make in life. Now, let me finish this morning by suggesting just two prayers that we can offer for ourselves and for our children, for those of us who are parents. As we get ready for the start of the new school year, let me encourage us to pray along these two lines. First, Lord, teach me to be humble before You. Teach me to be humble. I think humility is such an important attitude for growing in wisdom. Again, being humble doesn't mean that we have low self-esteem. Humility doesn't mean that we think we're worthless. In our passage, humility simply means that we're teachable. We want to learn. We know we need to learn. If we look at our passage, it says, the proverb of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Now the picture here is that of a wise parent giving important life lessons to a young child. Okay? He needs to learn. She needs to grow. But it's not just young children who need to learn. Because look at the next verse. Verse 5 says, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. Even those who are older and presumably more experienced, even they can still grow in wisdom. Even discerning need guidance. Point is, we can always learn more. It doesn't matter how long we've been going to church or how well we know our Bibles or how much experience we have in serving God. There's always, always more to learn. We can all benefit from gaining more wisdom. We think we know it all. Oh, I already know this. If we think we know it all, it's a big red flag. We need to pray that God will help us be humble and teachable. Lord, teach me to be humble so that I can grow in wisdom. I can become wise. Second prayer I want us to offer to the Lord. Not only, Lord, teach me to be humble, but Lord, teach me to trust You. Teach me to trust You. And I firmly believe that trusting God is the other key attitude we need to have to grow in wisdom. When verse 7 tells us to have a healthy fear of God, I believe it's also inviting us to trust God. A couple chapters later in the book of Proverbs, we find this encouragement to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him. He will make your paths straight. Trust can be a scary thing. When we trust someone, we're counting on that person to be there for us. We trust someone, we're banking on that person to help us in our times of need. More importantly, when we're trusting someone, we're basically saying that that person knows more than we do. That that person's understanding is greater than our own understanding. So I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to trust in his understanding. I'm going to trust that he knows more than I do. I'm going to trust that he knows what's best for us, even though I can't fully understand it right now. Even though it doesn't make complete sense to me. When we trust God, we're essentially saying that his wisdom is greater than our wisdom. Okay? Not easy to do, but so very important. Lord, help me to trust you. The New Testament makes this even more clear. In the book of 1 Corinthians, we find that wisdom isn't just a concept. Wisdom isn't just an ideal to strive for. Wisdom is actually a person. And this person, this personification, this embodiment of wisdom has proven himself to be completely trustworthy. Verse 30 in 1 Corinthians 1 says, "It is because of him, because of God, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." Let's pray together. Lord, we pray that you will indeed help us to be humble before you. Give us teachable hearts that are willing to learn not only in our classrooms, from our textbooks, from our wonderful teachers, but Lord, to also learn from you, from your word, from the people that you place in our lives who teach us, who care for us, who try, even in their imperfect attempts, to live out and model the truths about you, about what you've done. Help us to be humble before you. Give us teachable hearts. And Lord, we also pray that you will help us to trust you, because so very often we trust in ourselves. And not in you. We lean on our own understanding instead of believing that your wisdom is greater than ours. Lord, these are concepts that many of us already know cognitively, intellectually. We pray that by your Holy Spirit, you will help us to not just know these truths in our head, but to experience them in our hearts, to live them out in our everyday lives. Thank you, Lord, for being our loving Heavenly Father who wants the very best for his children. You want us to grow in wisdom. We pray that this school year there will be opportunities for us to take significant steps forward in our growth in wisdom, in our knowledge of you. Personal, real, everyday, practical knowledge of you. Not just knowing about you, but Lord, really knowing you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.